Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It is Love Week here on 102.5 The Game. And today's question is this. What's the most annoying thing about your significant other? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've had some doozies on the text line. We'll announce a winner in the next segment for their chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. So make sure that you stay tuned in for that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Adam Vingan from The Athletic, who joins us here. Adam, what's going on? How are we doing? Would you like to submit the most annoying thing about your significant other, or would you like to take the Joe Rex Road route of pleading the fifth?
Yeah, if I want to sleep in the bed tonight on the couch, I should probably steer clear. My wife is infallible, as I'm concerned.
I just wanted to give you that opportunity, and that's probably a wise decision on your part.
I haven't pleaded the fifth yet.
You did to start the show. I mean, you may have changed your mind.
I'm trying to think of the right answer.
Okay.
I got 27 minutes left. Okay. Vingan, very disappointed in you. Come on. You got something.
You don't have to, Adam. It's okay.
The difference is, Joe, you and your wife have been married for a long time, so there's some goodwill built up there. I'm still a newlywed,
that is true.
I feel like I have to tread lightly.
Very nicely done, Adam. You've learned very well in your short time being married. Adam, we've been talking, obviously, a lot all show long about the Predators. They've lost 5 out of the last 6. They're 5-8. They cannot buy goals right now offensively. As you look at this team, how much of this, in your opinion, is correctable? And how much of this is maybe just what they are this year?
Well, after the game last night, I asked Philip Forsberg something to that effect. He didn't quite answer the question, though I didn't expect him to be completely forthcoming. But what I asked is that on Monday night, Roman said after the game, Roman Josi, of course, that the team wasn't playing up to its potential. And I asked Philip, is it possible that this is this team's potential? And, you know, I'm sort of answering my own question for me, for myself. Yes, this is what this team is. I do not see anything on the horizon, on the immediate horizon, that will be a cure-all for what ails this team. I think this team's issues run deep. I think it's going to require a full-scale autopsy, whether it's in season, out of season, off season, whatever. Like, I think this team that we're watching, that we've watched get bludgeoned by the Tampa Bay Lightning for the past two nights, is what it is. I don't think they're going to be that much better. So, I mean, it's a difficult question to answer, but I don't see a simple fix. I don't see something that could immediately change this team's fortune. So I think we all have to live with the fact that this team is mediocre at best. It might even be below average at best, and the organization is going to have to reckon with that and make some incredibly tough decisions in the coming months.
Autopsy, huh? You've killed the Preds, Adam.
Didn't kill them. They killed themselves.
Yeah, well, it feels like it's going that way. I think Tampa Bay can really highlight your issues, you know, like obviously the hope for the Preds is that things look a lot different going against the Red Wings, who used to be called the Dead Things, by the way.
We're getting back to that territory.
Yeah, they're basically the Dead Things revisited. But, okay, so let's talk about what you're talking about here, Adam, in terms of tough decisions. Do you think that we're looking at, like, a full-blown, like, start-over kind of thing? Or is there any sort of path to a, I guess, quote-unquote, retooling that could still, you know, not require some long period of time, you know, near the bottom of the league?
Here's my plan, my immediate plan, and you can tell me if I'm ridiculous. Here's what I do in the next several months from a personnel standpoint. I trade every veteran player on an expiring contract. I trade Mikhail Granlund. I trade Eric Halla. I trade Brad Richardson. Those are the types of players that teams in contention love to get at the deadline because they're rentals and they can be effective in certain roles, so I trade all of them. Then, this might be the hardest thing, I trade Matthias Ekholm. Matthias Ekholm is their most valuable asset. He has 1 year remaining on his contract after this one. They're going to have some tough decisions to make in expansion anyway, and I think trading him would actually make it easier for them to figure out their expansion list. I mean, there are teams, like, I think of like a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs, for example, a team that has been thirsting for quality defense for, you know, to go with their superstar forward. I mean, I think a team like the Maple Leafs, this is completely hypothetical, of course, would pay a king's ransom for a player like Matthias Ekholm. So I trade Ekholm. Then in the summertime, when the expansion draft comes, I take that draft capital that I got for trading Granlund, Halla, Richardson, and Ekholm. I take a good portion of it, and I go to Seattle general manager Ron Francis, and I say, here are three draft picks. Please take Ryan Johansson or Matthew Shane. And then from there, you know, you ride with whichever $8 million center you don't trade, and you start really leaning into the future of this organization, which means players like Philip Tomasino, for example. That is what I would do. I think this core, as is, has gone stale, and I think we saw this season a lot of the secondary pieces around the team being shipped out. You know, Nick Bonino, Craig Smith, among others. Now I think you look at the core. I think this core has reached its ceiling. I actually think it reached its ceiling after it lost to Dallas in the playoffs 2 years ago. But those are the immediate moves that I make if I'm trying to engineer a rebuild on the fly.
Okay, so your plan then preserves Forsberg, Yossi, Ellis, Arvidsson.
Yes. You still need veterans. You can't have a team full of kids just because, quite frankly, the Predators prospect system is not very good. I mean, there are some good players in it, but it's not like they're flush with high-end prospects. So I still think you need veterans to lead, you know, to lead into that next generation, so to speak. But I move on from every veteran player on an expiring contract. I trade Matthias Ekholm, and I get rid of one of your $8 million centers. That would be my plan forward right now.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Adam, you had a tweet last night that said, quote, "The Predators need to ride or die with UC Saros this season. Pecorine is at the end of his career. The team needs to see if Saros can at least be a bridge to Askarov." I don't know whether or not I necessarily agree with that. I think Pekka, if he gives you the best chance to win right now, the team's not going to just punt on this season. But my question to you is this. What have you seen from UC Saros, and has there been anything that you've seen from him that gives you hope that he is a franchise goaltender? Or at this point, do you think he just is what he is, and that is a good NHL goaltender, but not necessarily a franchise goaltender?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because I looked at this the other day. I think it was before both Tampa games, which, you know, took a chunk out of both goaltenders' save percentages. But Pecorine and UC Saros were both top 10 goaltenders in even strength save percentage. You know, a lot of the issues they've been having is on the penalty kill. And you saw that last night from UC Saros specifically. I mean, last season, Pecorine was statistically the worst goaltender in the NHL, worst starting goaltender in the NHL on the penalty kill. That's why his statistics were so bad. And, you know, nobody looks good. Nobody escapes unscathed from the Predators' penalty kill. I know that Chase, you know, believes that they should go with Pekka. As I said, I think this season, you know, is slipping away. And I would rather confirm as much as I can what I have in a 25-year-old goaltender versus playing a 38-year-old known commodity who might retire at the end of the season. I just think it's proper asset management. And I think you need to determine, if UC Saros can hold it together for a couple of years, and then hopefully Yaroslav Askarov comes over from the KHL and takes over as the starting goaltender of the future, or if you have to go out and sign someone like James Reimer or Antti Raanta or a veteran goaltender next season, you know, to basically do a 1A, 1B with UC. I understand why people think that. I mean, I think eye test-wise, Pecorine has been better than UC Saros. I don't have the statistics in front of me to confirm that, but I just think it does not make sense to me where this team is, you know, to not play UC Saros. You need to ride or die with the guy, and you need to know without a shadow of a doubt what you have. Even though he has a large sample, you need to know without a shadow of a doubt what you have versus what you know you have in Pecorine, who might not be here in a couple of months.
All right, since you didn't answer this question, because you never answer my questions on Twitter, I'm going to ask it to you here.
Wow.
You always complain about Pred's Twitter, but what about Pred's Facebook? Like, what's up with Pred's Facebook?
I don't have Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't have Facebook.
You're asking the wrong guy.
I deleted my Facebook.
Well, because, but,
you're asking the wrong guy.
Because I think Pred's Facebook, aren't they like Pecorino should start every game forever and ever, amen?
Pred's Facebook has a variety of opinions.
You could get in a lot of fights with them, Adam.
I think Predator's Facebook is the worst. You'll have to ask Justin Bradford about that.
Yeah,
he knows more about that than I do. I think at the end of the day, somebody tweeted at me last night, why do you even allow replies to your tweets? And I quote tweeted it and said, because I am a masochist. So that is what, you know, Robbie gets it too. Predator's Twitter is in one right now. And I get it. They're mad. And I think they have every right to be, but I also think that, you know, the pitchforks need to be put down. I don't think anything's changing in the next couple weeks, you know. But like I said earlier, I do believe that this team needs to take a good, hard look at itself. And I'm not just talking about the roster. I mean, I firmly believe, and Robbie, I think, agrees with me here, this is beyond coaching. I honestly believe that John Hines is doing the best he can with what he has. I don't know if there are any coaches in this league that could squeeze more out of this group than John has. I just think the roster is flawed. I think it's not a very good team. I think that falls at the feet of David Poile, and I think that when they're doing this full-scale autopsy during the offseason, he needs to be included in it.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, appreciate you taking time to join us, brother. Good stuff as always.
All right, I just want to say to my lovely wife that I love her and that there's absolutely nothing wrong with her. She's perfect in every conceivable way.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate that. Very nicely done.
Beautiful.
When we come back, we'll react to what Adam had to say there. Also read off some of the great entries for Love Week in today's edition on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.